The party flowed with cinematic choreography. Plastic cups and beer bottles tilted back in a syncopated rhythm. Clusters of guests bobbed heads and danced to a new wave soundtrack, as if the floor were a giant trampoline, a ribbon of tipsy laughter running through the room. It might have been only a basement in Brooklyn, with mirrored walls and tan carpeting, but tonight it was their Studio 54, their Palladium, their Danceteria. A group of 50 with the noise and energy of hundreds, most on their college winter break. They'd come to celebrate New Year's Eve and Una Lockhart's 19th birthday. And they showed up in style, in leather and frills, spangles and mesh, eschewing subdued fabrics for ones that glistened, glimmered, popped with color. The looks flirted with glam, goth, new wave, and punk, even as those who wore them refused to be labeled as one thing. In the corner, Una knelt beside the stereo, sifting through a crate of records. She paused to check her watch, an anniversary gift from her boyfriend, Dale. It had no second hand, which gave the illusion of time moving slowly, sometimes even stopping. A single black diagonal line bisected the silver face dotted with tiny black stars. 9:15 p.m. In less than 3 hours, it would be 1983, and she'd be a year older. She stood, a record in either hand, as Dale, tall and sleepy-eyed, favoring his Brazilian mother's golden complexion, curly pompadour gelled back at the sides, ambled over. The sight of him quickened her breath.
"Hey, gorgeous. What you got there?"
He pointed at the records. "I can't decide which one to play next. Yaz or Talk Talk?" Shoulders tight, she raised and lowered the records as if weighing them.
"I've never seen anyone look so serious about picking a record. It's adorable."
He gave her a quick peck on the cheek.
"How about I take over as DJ and you go dance? I'll play them both."
While she allowed him to take the records, her shoulders remained stiff. "Okay, I just need to bring down more napkins and ice."
"I'll take care of that too. Your only job is to enjoy the party."
A wink belied his stern tone. Suddenly, one floor up, there was a crashing thud and shatter. Everyone stopped dancing and gazed up at the ceiling. Was it a noisy intruder? Something thrown through a window? Una and Dale rushed to the foot of the stairs.
"Stay here. I'll see what it is,"
Dale said to her.
"I'll come with you."
Forced assertiveness as a cold, dropping sensation overtook her. "Not again, please." He paused on the stairs, turned around.
"I'm sure it's nothing, but it'll make you feel better. I'll go find Corey to check it out with me."
"Found him,"
she pointed over his shoulder. At the top of the stairs, Corey's lanky frame was hunched over in dread, his black Liberty spikes casting geometric shadows on his face.
"Dude, I'm so sorry. I was showing off some dance moves for these girls and the rug got in my way. I fell on top of your coffee table and it, broke. Nobody's hurt, but I'm a dumbass. I'll clean up the mess, replace the table, promise."
Cowering behind Corey were two petite girls wearing too much mascara and lame dresses like liquid metal. Dale thundered up the rest of the steps. As his chest puffed out with a slow, indrawn breath, Una crept up behind him and touched his back. Finally, he sighed and said,
"Hey, it's not a real party until something breaks, right?"
Thank you for listening to this clip provided to you by Macmillan Audio. To hear more, look for this title wherever audiobooks are sold.